We're joined today by Howie Hawkins with the Green Party, who is the 2020 Green Party nominee for president, who will also be speaking this Saturday, November 6th, in Albany at the Day of Action Globally for Climate Justice. Begins at 11 a.m. at the Radix Center in the South End. So, Howie, you know, you were, first, person, candidate, at least in the United States, who really began to promote a Green New Deal back in 2010. Congress is trying to wrap up this idea about a Build Back Better proposal from President Biden and Senator Schumer. The so-called framework that the president recently announced, which apparently has not yet been agreed to by the two Democratic senators, been holding out, you know, is talking about around $55 billion a year for climate, you know, over a 10-year period. What do you think about where Congress is right now with the Build Back Better proposal? I mean, a lot of groups are saying this will be the largest investment in American history in climate, and it's an historic victory.
Well, the history sets a very low bar because the United States has not done a damn thing about the climate crisis at the federal level. So anything they do, you know, is better than what they've done. The $55 billion a year, it's almost all corporate welfare, credits, subsidies, low interest loans for the solar and wind markets, which are dominated by, in the case of solar, big oil, Exxon, BP, Shell. In the case of wind, big manufacturers like General Electric and Vestas and Siemens. So it's corporate welfare. I'm afraid it's going to reproduce what we've experienced over the last decade, where, yes, renewables, wind and solar in particular, have expanded somewhat, but it's been added on to what we already have, mostly from fossil fuels and nuclear. So we may get more renewables, but it's not going to cut back on the fossil fuels and their emissions. And of course, that's what we've got to do. Now, there was a proposal in there for a clean energy standard that would have penalized utilities that didn't cut their fossil fuel emissions by 4% a year. But that was rejected by Senator Manchin, and so it's not in the bill. So what we have here is basically, the old corporate subsidy thing. Plus, in the bipartisan infrastructure bill, they add $25 billion in new subsidies for fossil fuels on top of the $20 billion a year the government already hands out. I don't think this is a solution at all. The incentives for building some solar and wind generation and for consumers to buy electric vehicles will help a little bit, but it's a drop in the bucket. I mean, most people that look at this say we need to spend at least $1 trillion a year. You know, that's a lot more than $55 billion. You know, I'm talking about think tanks and academics. They put that forward in the Thrive Agenda, which is what the progressives and Democrat in the Democratic Party wanted at the beginning of the year. The eco-socialist Green New Deal budget that my campaign proposed, and that was based on really going sector by sector and what it would really cost to transition to 100% clean energy by 2030, that was $2.7 trillion a year. So this is far short of what we need.
And now, I mean, the apologists would argue, well, yes, we didn't get what we really wanted, but, you know, at least the money that was cut from the, $3.5 trillion wasn't really cut as much from climate. And what could you do? You got Senator Manchin and Senator Sinema from Arizona saying no, and the Democrats, didn't really have any margin to move in the Senate. So, I mean, Biden and Schumer did as best as they could.
I totally disagree with that. At the beginning of the year, Senator Manchin said, this is like mid-January after the insurrection on January 6th. He said, we need to spend $2, $3, or $4 billion on infrastructure, which, of course, includes the climate policies. So he's gone down. He was demanding by the summer $1.5 trillion as a top line. So what Biden and the progressives in the Congress could have done is gone out to the people and said, we need your support. Put pressure on the people holding out, which was not just Senator Manchin and Senator Sinema, but about 15 or so conservative House Democrats that, resisted on a number of issues, more on the social spending side of this proposal, but instead of mobilizing the people and being advocates for it, Biden played the inside game, and his whole thing about bipartisanship was crazy. The Republicans were never going to work with him. They tried to overthrow the election. And then, you know, he does the same thing with Manchin and Sinema and the conservative House Democrats. And they called the shots. The progressives made all the concessions. So I think there was another path. Make this a political issue. Tout what's in the bill, the things that were going to be done. Instead, the media narrative was how much it was going to cost. And people didn't really hear what was in it. So I think there was another path, but they didn't fight. They kind of, you know, did the inside Washington thing where the lobbyists have the upper hand. And they spent hundreds of millions of dollars between big pharma and big oil and so forth to cut this bill down and eviscerate the best programs.
One of the reasons that, you know, Biden announced this framework last week, even though there really wasn't any agreement to enact such a framework, is that he wanted to, you know, show up in the COP26 climate summit that began November 1st in Glasgow, going on for 12 days, basically the six-year update from Paris. You know, what are some of the things that, you know, we need to see as the world happen in Glasgow?
Well, it would be nice if we had countries making bigger commitments than they have, but look, Brazil's not there, China's not there, Russia's not there, and these are big greenhouse gas emitters. So that doesn't look good. And then, you know, the idea of climate reparations. You know, there are about 23 rich countries that have accounted for almost all the historical emissions. And the idea is because of the damages they've already created in the poor countries and the need for the poor countries to develop clean energy systems, there should be money paid by these rich countries to the poor countries to deal with those problems. So back at Cancun at the COP16, 10 COPs ago, committees on, was a council of?
Conference of Parties.
Yeah, the Conference of Parties, which is these climate summits, they said they committed, the rich countries committed to, by 2020, having $100 billion a year in a green climate fund. And so far, they've only committed $8.3 billion. And the U.S. has said, but hasn't delivered on, a little more. Whereas, you know, the people that study this thing say, for example, there was a group of environmental groups in the United States said we need to commit $80 billion a year over the next decade, which is probably insufficient at that level, but it would certainly be a lot better. So, and the problem is the U.S. has been the biggest historical emitter, but because factories have offshored, these poor countries are where a lot of these emissions are coming from. Now, we import a lot of those products, and a lot of those factories are owned by U.S.-based corporations, so we're responsible for them. But just take China, for example. 85% of their emissions, and they're the world's largest emitter right now, are for the domestic market. Only 15% is exported. So we got to have a global Green New Deal. And unfortunately, the U.S. has historically said, yeah, we're the historical biggest emitters, but we don't acknowledge that we owe a climate debt, although they put more money in than any other country. But it's, like I said, a drop in the bucket compared to what's needed. So that should come out of the Glasgow summit, but it doesn't look good.
So we've been talking with Howie Hawkins, representing the Green Party. Howie will be speaking on Saturday, November 6th, starting at 11 o'clock at the Radix Center in the south end of Albany. He's part of a global day of action for climate justice being sponsored by the PAWS and the Green Party, a bunch of other groups. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network. I want to go back a little bit, Howie, and this actually was an issue that Governor Cuomo used to raise to sort of defend his anemic support, especially initially in his first two terms, for renewable energy. And he made the point that, hey, you know, in Germany, they gave a lot of incentives and a lot of renewable energy was built out, but it did not, you know, sort of lower emissions overall, but it also didn't really mean that the new renewable energy was being actually built in the place where it needed to be. Now, to some of us, that would you know, lead to the concept, well, perhaps you need to actually do this with some type of, you know, democratic plan and, you know, public ownership. So I guess that ties into your, you know, your concept of an eco-socialist Green New Deal.
Yeah, we need public power. The incumbent utilities and the big fossil fuel corporations, they want to make money on what they've already built or know how to do. And so we need to take them over and use the resources and assets they have to phase out fossil fuels and ramp up renewables. And they're already, as I mentioned earlier, they're the biggest players in the solar market when you talk about big oil and, you know, manufacturing. It's big companies like GE. We need to bring them into a public system where we can democratically plan how to get this done. If we just leave it to incentives in the market, like are proposed in Build Back Better, these, you know, the $55 billion a year, the companies will, yeah, thank you for the money, but they're not going to shut down their things they're already doing in fossil fuels. So that's why we need to have this become a public utility rather than a for-profit enterprise that can make a lot of money off of fossil fuels, which we got to get off of.
You know, one of the things I noticed, I mean, $55 billion a year, you know, can sound a lot to people, but then you look at the military budget and then, you know, formally it's about $750 billion a year. In reality, it's probably well in excess of $1 trillion. But I was also just read recently that Americans spend $100 billion a year taking care of their pets. Well, you know, pets are nice, obviously, but, you know, that sort of dwarfs, you know, the $55 billion a year. And then also you've talked quite a bit about a climate emergency, and particularly you make reference to, what did, you know, FDR do in terms of taking control of the economy after Pearl Harbor?
Well, the federal government took over a quarter of the manufacturing capacity of the country in order to plan the production of arms. They called it the arsenal of democracy. So they turned industry on a dime from producing automobiles and trucks to producing arms and tanks and, you know, weapons, other weapons of war, because it was an emergency. And that's what we needed to do. We need to do nothing less to defeat climate change. And right now, we're not doing that. We're just throwing money at the big fossil fuel companies for their solar operations. And that'll be added onto the fossil fuels we're already burning, not replacing the fossil fuels.
I'll just mention, if people want to see some of the executive orders that people have talked about that the president could take, you can look at climatepresident.org. And I also point out that even though he made a promise to curtail, actually stop, you know, during the campaign, you know, leases for oil and gas and public land, almost it seems like the opposite. The United States under Biden will be giving out more than they've ever done, at least since the Bush era. Howie Hawkins is going to be this Saturday, November 6th at the march and rally starting at 11 at the Radix Center. If people want to read more about, you know, your $2.7 trillion you know, climate plan, eco-socialist Green New Deal, where can they find that?
It's on the campaign website for my campaign in 2020. It's howiehawkins.us. And go in the issues tab and look for the policy papers. And in there, you'll find a budget where we went sector by sector and used, you know, existing costs to figure out what it would cost to replace all the fossil fuel burning we're doing, not just in power production, but transportation, manufacturing, agriculture, and buildings. And we came up with $2.7 trillion. And that's, I think, the real cost. What we're doing now with Build Back Better is, well, you know, when Biden first proposed the American Jobs Plan back in the spring, it was about $2.25 trillion. That didn't count the social programs, which he added on the American Families Plan, total of about $6 trillion. But the amount they were willing to spend was dependent on how much money they could raise with the tax reforms he was proposing. That's not the way you do it. You figure out what the problem is and what it's going to cost to solve it. And then you figure out how you raise the money or borrow the money to do it. So you really solve the problem. But they're not doing it that way. They're basically, you know, it's politics. And the big, powerful, rich interests are dominating the process. That's why we've gone from Biden's original $6 trillion to less than $2 trillion. Biden's original proposal was inadequate to begin with.
Well, Howie, I want to thank you for joining us today, Howie Hawkins. And this has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.